How many people here know who Richard Benno was? I'll let you off, Marilia, seeing as I don't think cricket is big sort of in where in Brazil and all sort of around there. But for anyone else who didn't put their hand up, you can expect a visit. Richie Benno was one of voted the best cricket commentator of all time. He was an Australian. I've got an American quote later, you see. That's what. He's an Australian. He was a leg spin bowler, if that means anything to you. And he went after he retired from playing cricket on to commentating. And in his autobiography, which was published shortly before his death, when he spoke about how you commentate and the marks of a good commentator, he said, say as little as you can. He said, the mark of a good commentator, and there are very few of those left, are the ones who only speak when they can add something to that which you can see yourself. He suggested that most commentators of sport these days spoke because they wanted people to hear their voice rather than to be able to see the sport and the commentator to be there to add something to it. For that reason, tonight, I will not preach for very long. The passage that David and Irene read needs very little adding to it to bring us to be able to see the richness and the fullness of that which is in it. That which is our life ahead in Christ. Verse 17 speaks about us being qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And in a week where we have seen A-level results passed and GCSE results will come next week, we think about being qualified for what comes next. Are we qualified to go on to the next level? Well, here, Graham has given tonight's passage, tonight's prayer from the Old Testament, the title of Paul's Prayer of Fullness. And I want to ask what that means. I want us to ask, how do we engage with this idea of a life full in God? If we were to read John chapter 10, verse 10, we would see those words where Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it in all of its fullness. Not a fraction of life, not a partial life, but life filled to the brim. And I want you to try and think about something using this vase. I don't know if you can see it. I hope you can, because otherwise there's no way. You have there a vase with nothing in. Well, apart from the air that is surrounding us. And now, of course, it comes to the question that what is that? You can answer.
Half full.
Yeah. Is it? Half empty. Is it completely full and half full with water and half full with air? Whatever answer you were going to give me, I could have actually worked a way to tell you that you were wrong. I like questions like that. The jug, the vase that's here before us, has been filled, it's been changed from being completely empty of water to being half full of water and remaining half full as it was before of air. Our lives lead us to ask the question, in what state of fullness are they? Because our lives are full. Our lives don't have any emptiness within them. But the question is, what have they been filled with? Have they been filled with that which is dark, which the Bible warns us against? Or have they been filled with that which is good, that which is light, and that which is good from heaven and of Christ? In verse 9 it says, we have not since the day we met you, stopped praying for you. And we ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul and his band of Christians have said, ever since we met you, we've asked God to make sure you are absolutely full. Not with that which is just okay. Not with that which is of the earth, but that which is of God. And the question is, what are we filled with today? And chapter 1 of Colossians, and past the passage that we've read, that David and Irene brought to us, asks, are we filled of the nature of the gospel? Are we filled with Jesus? There was a very particular brand of music over a century ago that came out of... I can think of about 3 or 4 people who will think, oh yes, to this. And some might not, but I'll go with it anyway. Of the Moody and Sankey era, the kind of hymns they sang that sang, we will follow, we will be with, we will go with Jesus. When they wrote their hymns, they were about not just a partial life with God, but an absolute and complete surrendering of life to God. There was a story on the news about someone who was applying to either Oxford or Cambridge last week. And basically, they had put their whole life on hold for 2 years to get the grades they needed at A-levels to achieve what Oxford or Cambridge wanted them to get. It said, sort of, I wasn't the smartest person, but I knew if I wanted to do what I wanted to do, I had to get into university there. And that meant I had to get the grades, which meant everything else had to go on hold. And I have to give everything to my students. Now, God doesn't ask us for A's or points, but he asks us to give wholeheartedly to him, to be filled with the gospel rather than the other things that the world can offer. When we stand before a vending machine and we're choosing and looking whether we want what we want, we find ourselves facing a big decision between that button that brings us the gospel into our life and any number of diversions. God asks us to be filled with what we have received. And as we spoke of earlier, and we saw in our first hymn tonight, that message is about being filled with the life of God and the forgiveness of God. In the last 2 verses that David read to us, it says, God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, a week or so ago, I was at home, and for those of you that know where we live, there is a grass bank out opposite the house that is between us and the shops. And sort of, if you're sensible, you walk on the path and walk round. But I decided I would go down the grass bank, and I ran, and I got the stuff from the shops, and I came back. And then, only when I'd been about 4 or 5 steps into the living room, did I notice that I was walking muddy footprints into the house. Not only that, when you've got my size feet and my pattern of trainers, no matter what I could have said, there's no way I could have argued that they weren't mine. So I went to the garden, to the utility, and I got out Vanish Super Stain, whatever it's called. You know, this super deluxe one. And I sprayed it on the stains, left it for time, waited. Then I brushed it up, and it came up. I thought, wow, you don't expect this kind of stuff to work, do you? You think it only works on the television. Do you know the problem now? There are 2 extra clean extra clean spaces on the carpet, and the rest of it's just got the colour of however many years wear. I've managed to bring out the stain and the dirt, but I've not paid attention to the bits around it. And sometimes in our lives, that is us, isn't it? We see the big things. We pay attention to the big things. And we forget that actually our life is stained by the life we've chosen to live in sin. We can't take Vanish or Mr. Muscle and a brush to our lives. We need God to do the full cleanse, the full deep clean of life that we don't do ourselves. It's still there. And I look at it and sort of, I apologise profusely to Mum. And I'm not sure whether she's saying we get someone in for the carpet or whether or not it's an excuse for her to have a new carpet. I just don't know. But do you know what I mean? Sometimes we look at those little bits where we've brought up our worst stains, and we examine, and we forget to examine the fact that because the rest of it goes gradually, step by step, we don't see it get marked and stained all as one. Let us remember that Christ offers us to be reconciled to him, with peace made through his blood shed on the cross. It is what we have been given, what we have been offered, and therefore life is in its fullness to be received. And finally, and I just want to say, you're given so that you can receive. You're given so that you can give. What we give into that fullness of that vase is given that we may not see others go thirsty. Because when we give out from that, God will continually see it filled up in our lives. It would be very easy for me to think, oh, that's full, that's good stuff, I'm going to hold that like this and protect it, thinking I like it full. I'm not going to see it given anywhere else. But instead, what we should be doing is going to the others and just offering them what they need to find out life for them. We have been given more than we can possibly imagine, more than we can expect, that we are given it to share with others. If not, then we're missing the point of what we've been given. And I urge you today, receive to give. Charles and Lee have received from God, so they are planning what they will give in the Ukraine. Andy, at the moment, is speaking and doing those things in Rwanda as a practical working out of his giving. The Boys Brigade helpers and officers giving as we speak in the rain which has started. And for each one of us who meets people who are not yet Christians in the weeks gone by and in the weeks to come, let us give that they may receive and they may find the one who we worship as King.